So we thank God for them. We thank God for my pulpit associates, my friends that came out to support, and all of you for being here. And I saved the best for last. My wife, Sister Karen, who is... Yeah, I usually try to come up with something cute to say, but I'm just going to say that I know my wife loves me very, very much. Amen. Father, in Jesus' name, we ask now that you decrease the speaker, that your word might increase. Soften the heart so that the word can hit its intended target. Get glory for yourself is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. You've heard the chapter for today, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 to 10. But I want to focus on verse 10. And it reads in the NIV, "For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." And just for a couple minutes, I want to talk to you around the subject customized for the kingdom. Customized for the kingdom. And for a starter, my Honda and MTV is going to help us get into the text a little bit. I have a Honda Accord. It's a nice blue Honda, four-door. We've had Hondas for a little while, and they treat us real well. But sometime when I park somewhere, especially if it's a little dark out, in order for me to locate my car, I have to pull out my keys and hit the horn because my Honda is made on an assembly line. The car starts over here, for example, and it's just a little frame and somebody puts on the tires or somebody puts in the transmission. Somebody puts as the car goes along the assembly line. And really the person whose job it is to connect the engine and the transmission, he may not or she may not even know whether it's a two-door or a four-door. Does it have a sunroof? Does it have satellite radio? They don't know. All they know, and they do it well because my Honda is real good. They do it well. They put on their part as it moves along the assembly line. But see, I thank God that God doesn't make us like that. God doesn't want cookie cutter Christians. Right? What anybody now? Some of y'all I know watch MTV, and has anybody ever seen Pimpin' My Ride? Right? Pimpin' My Ride now. And what happens on Pimpin' My Ride is that the stars of the show go around and they find this piece of junk. And they bring it, and of course for the show, the more junky, the better. And they bring it in somewhere. And then they have a discussion, and they go in the back, and they come out with a plan. And then they go to work on the car, and, of course, the finished product is different than the product, than the junky car that they started out with. I thought my brother minister over there was, when he was talking about the house, he looked over my shoulder and seen some notes or something. Because we're right on the same right on the same page, and really, that's the perfect ministry of the Holy Spirit. See, the text starts out. It says, "For we are God's workmanship." Workmanship can be translated masterpiece. A masterpiece. You are God's masterpiece. And most of the time, I talk about how my wife has all these pictures on the wall, but they're prints, P-R-I-N-T-S. And what she does is she'll go to Ross or TJ Maxx or something like that, buy the ugly picture just for the frame. Then she takes the ugly picture out and puts one of our pictures in there. But it's a print, P-R-I-N-T-S. But the thing about a print is that if you go to enough houses, you might see what's on your wall on somebody else's wall. But you are, the Bible says that you are a masterpiece. See, on Pimpin' My Ride, they get an old car. They get an old car. Now, the car didn't start out looking like it does when they go find it. But the vigors and vicissitudes of life have, and the car has gone through all kinds of stuff. So as it's going through all kinds of stuff, it's taken some hits and it's gotten pretty worn out. And it has turned into a piece of junk. I say, some of y'all, I see somebody looking and they're saying, see, I was with you, minister, till you, now you calling me a piece of junk. Well, but the scripture starts out that tells us that we were dead in trespasses and sin. We were dead. In fact, it says, and you he made alive. So we were all dead. In fact, I get a chance to see how many of y'all in my age bracket, because you all look so nice out there, but some of you all will remember back in the day, and young people, I don't mean 1994 when I say back in the day. I'm talking about a little further back than that. When you were hanging out and you hung out last night, the next day you would be talking about, man, that thing was all the way. Oh, see? Matter of fact, I thought I recognized some of y'all from somewhere else other than church. We used to say it was all the way live. But that just shows you the trick of the enemy. Because Ephesians chapter 2 starts out by saying, and you had he quickened who was dead. So we were dead when we were thinking that we were living. Isaiah chapter 64 around verse 6 says, on our best day, we're a filthy rag. Now, a filthy rag is the rag that you don't even take out your trunk to wipe off the car after it rained Friday night, because it's too dirty for you to even put your car on. Put it on your car. On our best day, that's where we were. So I think the analogy between us and the car that is on Pimping My Ride kind of does balance out. And see, what happens is God has to, we are his workmanship. We are his masterpiece. Now, whether it be an artist or a poet or a musician or a filmmaker or an athlete, when they go about and make their masterpiece, they want somebody to see it or hear it. A poet doesn't write a poem and just keep it under wraps. They like to say it. A songwriter, when some of you all found out that Jay-Z was going to be down in the Belmont Plateau or wherever he's going to be, you can't wait to give him, who's already a millionaire, your $130. So you can go see Jay-Z, because according to some people, I don't understand it, but according to some people, what he says is really all that. But he doesn't want to keep that under wraps. A masterpiece wants to be displayed. When you go to the art museum, you see artworks on display. God wants to show off in you. So he wants to craft you like he wants to craft you, so he can show off his goodness in you. Well, minister, what about 2 Corinthians 5:17? If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Behold, all things have passed away. All things have become new. Well, I would like to say it says in the text there that God has prepared in advance some stuff. So God, anybody that does anything, anybody that's a master builder, master painter, master artist, they have a plan before they go about building. So in the builder's eye, in the master mason's eye, in the master artisan's eye, it's finished actually before the actual work begins. So you are already a finished product before God has gotten done working on you. I know you need some Bible for that. In Judges, I think chapter 6, God finds Gideon hiding in a wine press. Now, So because the enemy, well, the Midianites were coming in and taking everything that the children of Israel had. So Gideon was, they were doing their threshing in a wine press. A wine, threshing was usually done in a field so that the wind could separate the wheat from the chaff. But Gideon had to do it in a wine press, which is in an enclosed place, because he was scared that the Midianites would come and take all of the wheat. God comes in and calls him a mighty man of valor when he was acting like a coward. My point is that he was calling Gideon not as he was, but as God saw him as a finished product. So God calls us as he sees us. And in Romans chapter 5, around verse 17, it says that we are given, we are declared. Romans 5, around verse 17, it says we are declared righteous. But then in verse 19, it says we are being made righteous. So what that means is that at the point that we accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, well, our place in heaven is guaranteed. I have any believers in here? Only a couple. Maybe by the end of the message, we'll have some more. But so as soon as you accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you're going to heaven. But and all of us, let me try this one. How many people want to go to heaven in here? But see, how many are ready to go right this second? Not too many. See, so, and God knows that. So what he's doing is, yes, when we accept Jesus, we're written in the Lamb's Book of Life. We're looking in the, we're written in the Book of Life. But if we don't go right away, then he is sanctifying us so that he can get glory through us. So that means he's getting some of, rid of the old stuff and putting in some of the new stuff so that he can show us off to people that don't believe. Somebody in here has been through a thing or two. And sometime when you go back around, well, let me tell you this story. A friend of mine from the old neighborhood lost his father. So he asked me to be a part of the service. So everybody from the old block, 1400 block of Redfield Street, we came to the funeral. And at Enon, when you minister at Enon, you wear your collar to baptism and communion and funerals. So I'm there, and I spoke. So afterwards, we're at the repast, and this guy, Winnie Burton, he was there, and we're eating, and he looked up from his plate, and he just looked at me and said, "You're a minister?" And I said, "Yeah, I'm a minister." So he went back to eating. About 15 minutes later, he looked over me again and said, "You a minister?" But what he was trying to work out in his mind is, he said, "Like, this is not the Glenn that I knew growing up." For him to go from what I knew to now wearing that collar, God had to be involved. So in Pippin' My Ride, they take these pieces of junk. And the interesting thing is, what they start tearing it apart, and they tear it all up, and the thing that they fixed first is what's on the inside. They fix up what's on the inside first. I think the Bible talks about be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. See, so what happens is, as we work on the inside, Colossians, another book written by Paul, tells us some stuff that we're supposed to put off. So we got to get rid of some stuff. They tear all that out, and then they start rebuilding from the inside out. And as they're rebuilding from the inside out, the car is not ready to be put on display yet. Only the master builder knows that there's a transformation taking place on the inside. It's not ready for the public. The public will still see the exterior, which still looks like a piece of junk. But sooner or later, by and by, What happens is everything that is supposed to be done on the inside gets fixed, and then they start repairing the outside so that when it comes time to put it on display, people will know that there's been a master at work on this car. And that's the way it is with us inside. See, one thing that we get wrong up in church is that we try to show each other that we're how saved we are, rather than going out on youth night, going bowling and showing people other places that we're saved. Oh, we know how to say preach, preacher, and hallelujah. And we know how to phrase it just right so that people in the church will say, oh, boy, that sounds so spiritual. But no matter how big the church or how small the church, percentage-wise, most of the people in the church are saved already. So we don't have to show off for each other because we all know what it's like to be saved. But God wants to make us a master. He doesn't make us cookie-cutter Christians because he wants to send us each out to the places where we go so that the places where we go and or used to go, people will be able to say, only God could have changed that sister. Only God could have changed that brother. And although we're changed and we clean it up, we still speak the language of the places that we're going. Now, Pastor Carpenter told me that kind of the theme of the day was we can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. But I just want you to turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor,
all things
doesn't mean anything.
All things
doesn't really mean anything goes. Because it says that the master, Jesus, God is our, we're his masterpiece. He's gone on the inside, cleaned out some stuff, put some stuff in there, and he didn't do all that just so we could go out and do anything. It says that we are created in Christ Jesus to do good works. Now, I have to put a pin there for just a second. And I know the pastors Carpenter are Bible teachers, but it just, we need to always emphasize when we talk about this particular text that you can't work to get into heaven, but you can't work to get saved, but once you are saved, you need to do some work. You can't work your way in. You can't get your salvation by what you do. You have to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior to do that. And it goes something like this. I really don't see anybody in here that knows me back in the day. So I can tell you that way back in the day around in the 70s and 80s, I played a lot of basketball. I was a decent basketball player. Anybody in here that has any skills, I mean, I was a dunker. I could dunk the basketball on a good day. I could do some good things. And if there was some, but here's the thing. If there was some way I could go back and make a DVD of me on my best days, not one thing on that DVD would impress LeBron James. See, because his skills are way above my skills. So there's nothing in my game that could impress LeBron James. In the same way, there's absolutely nothing we can do to impress God by our works. I mean, how can you impress God? Job started to question God, and God said, okay, Job, I got some questions for you. Where were you when I put the planets where they are? Where were you when I designed the outline of the ocean? Where were you when I formed the mountains? How can we impress God? God who into nothing spoke everything into existence. How can we impress God when he said, he knew when he put free will in us that we were going to mess up? It started in Genesis 1. That's the beginning of when God started telling us what he wanted in the book. By Genesis 3, we had already messed up. God knew when he put free will in us that we would do that. So when God said, let us make man in our own image, let us, that means more than one. So, you know, the good Baptist preachers make it like a round table discussion. But God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, when they said, let us make man in our own image, they already knew that man was going to fail. But because we can't surprise God, they already had a plan of salvation in place before we fell. That plan of salvation had to do with God's only Son making up his mind to be obedient to his Father, leaving heaven and coming to earth. Paul put it in Philippians. He says he humbled himself and became a servant. And then not only did he become a servant here, he humbled himself unto death, unto the death on the cross. Somebody might be saying, well, but minister, you don't know how I came up. Well, Jesus was born to an unwed mother. His first bed was a trough that animals drink and eat out of. Nobody in here was born in an animal trough that they didn't even clean up. He probably put it on some hay that animals were supposed to eat. That was Jesus's first bed. I know nobody in here was born like that. And yet Jesus did all that he was supposed to do. If he had stopped at the miracles, we'd still be going to hell, as fantastic as the miracles were. But no, Jesus was obedient unto death. He has all power. But Jesus went to the cross willingly, just so that 2,000 years later, and when we have come to ourselves, we would only have to accept Jesus as Lord and Savior. So when you think about the fact that God the Father is the master builder of ourselves, God the Father had mercy on us because the wages of sin is death. If the wages of sin is death, really, there shouldn't be anybody standing in the pulpit or anybody sitting in the pews. So he had mercy on us. He kept his hands on us when we were in our mess. I'll use one from my pastor. If we take a halo off, we will have to admit that we've been in some situations that we didn't have to get out of intact. Can anybody say amen to that? Now, and if that is so, then we were experiencing God's mercy before we got saved. And then at the moment of salvation going forward, we have experienced his grace. That is, can anybody say since they've been saved, God has been good to them? Amen. Hey, has God been better to you than you've been to yourself? Amen. That has anybody gotten something that you know you don't deserve? That nothing, has anybody had a door open and you know it was none other than the Lord? That's God's grace. So if we've experienced those things, see, he didn't do all those things for us to just do any old thing. We are to do good works. Good works. And yes, the church needs workers on the inside. But even if we're in here 4 hours, that still leaves 164 hours of the week. So God really needs us to be workers on his behalf out there. That's where the good works are. On your job, nobody should be surprised on your job when they find out you're a Christian. Now, I mean, for me, some people are surprised that I'm a minister, But nobody should be surprised that I'm a Christian. Who, him? Now, they shouldn't be saying that. Because our light should be shining wherever we are. Because God, in this scripture, it says verses 8 and 9, for by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. The scholars suggest that even the drawing of our, even the getting of ourselves to the point of accepting Jesus as Lord and Savior was not our doing. The Holy Spirit drew us, whether it be however it was. A lot of times it's through allowing us to go through trials and tribulations that we finally said, well, I've done all kinds of stuff. Let me give Jesus a chance. But even that drawing was the work of Jesus Christ in the person of the Holy Spirit. The saving has been done by Jesus' dying and then us accepting him as Lord and Savior. And, of course, the master builder, the master planner of our lives is God the Father. So if we are alive and if we are saved, we owe all the glory to God. So we are a masterpiece. In fact, because I know some of you all in other times have been called all kinds of things, but I would declare not many of you have been called a masterpiece. So just take a minute, just take a moment, and just pat yourself on the breast and say, I'm a masterpiece. See, no. No. Say it like you mean it. Say, I'm a masterpiece. See, we speaking that in the atmosphere. So when somebody calls you other than that, you tell them, now, it's not Minister Glenn that says I'm a masterpiece. The Word of God says I'm a masterpiece. So God is working on us. He's making you his creation that he wants to show off. He has gone through all of this just so that we can do good works. But the last thing is, don't sit on our blessed assurances waiting for God to do it all. It says that God has prepared some works in advance for us to do. To do a verb, action word. Two examples. One example is some people came to Enon to talk to the ministers, and they said something that really touched my spirit. So the instructions were, look, go to the website, download the information, and we'll be looking forward to hearing from you. Well, it's an opportunity. But so what I did was I went to the website, I downloaded the information, I did what the information said, and I had an interview Friday. But my point is that if I hadn't done what the information told me to do, I never would have gotten the interview. Now, I don't know the results yet, but now it's in God's hands. So what I'm telling you is that it's not, we just can't, oh, I'm saved, and Lord, you know what I want to do. And I'm just going to sit here and wait for you to bless me. No, God wants us to do something. He wants us to participate so that he can show off. 2 Chronicles 20, when Jehoshaphat was faced with a mighty army up against him, somebody prayed and said, this battle is not yours, it's the Lord's. Now we say that part, but the next part, the guy told Jehoshaphat, go position yourselves, go and see the salvation of the Lord. Get yourself in position so that you know that God has worked it out. Now, yesterday, I went down to support some sisters, one of our church sisters, who was taking part in the Philadelphia Triathlon, where you swim, ride a bike, and run. Just a little shout out. Some of you ladies, if you want to get yourself moving, black girls do run. They do work out. They got a website. They got a Facebook page. Now, as we're waiting for the sisters to come out of the water, I'm being pushed to take part in this triathlon. My wife won't let me do the Tough Mudder, so maybe I can do this. I don't know. But my challenge is not, I know I had to work on my swimming. I'm not afraid of working on my swimming. But the thing that I can't really get my arms around is the fact that you got to swim in the school kill. Yeah, I know. But that's a whole nother story. But I don't know, you know. It just doesn't look like water you're supposed to be swimming in, you know. But as the people, so I'm at the place where the people come out of the water so we can cheer as they go from the water to the bike part. And this guy comes up out of the water and he's hopping. They pull him up out of the water and he hops. And then one of his friends was there and he just put on his other leg and ran on to get on his bike. Now, what's true physically is true spiritually. Now, I can't, what in the world could hold me back from doing anything physically after I saw this man climb up out of the Schuylkill River on one leg and he did what he had to do to put his other leg on so he could get on with it. He could keep it moving. What I'm saying is that God has customized each one of you, knowing where you came from, knowing what you're going through. He is preparing you, and in fact, you are prepared to do something where God can get the glory, but He doesn't want you sitting on it. Don't talk about what you can't do. Stand up, get in the game, keep it moving, because God has worked it out so He can show off in you. I mean, He showed off in His Son. He showed off. There's a in Mark 6, you know the story about the Jairus' daughter and the woman with the issue of blood, where the woman, the Jairus tried to get Jesus to come. Jesus said, "Okay, I'm coming." The woman came and touched the hem of His garment. That delayed the process. Somebody came and told Jairus, "Good try, brother Jairus, but your daughter's dead." Jesus said, "Just believe." They went to Jairus' house. People were laughing when Jesus said she's only asleep. Jesus said, you haters, get out of here. Now, see, that one's for free. Sometimes we got to get the haters out of our life. If somebody doesn't believe in what you're talking about, hasta la vista, wouldn't want to be you. See you later. Bye. So when we talk about a faith walk, we can't even talk about what our eyes show us, because Jairus' daughter looked like she was dead, but Jesus got her up. And a little while later, it looked like all was lost for Jesus. He had done miracles while he was living. But he went to Jerusalem and got sold out for 30 pieces of silver. They arrested him and tried him in an unjust court. They put him on a cross. He allowed himself to be nailed to a cross, hands and feet. They hung him high and dropped him low. And he was on that cross, and things changed on Good Friday 2,000 years ago. At high noon, it was dark. They said, stick a spear in his side. That was a mistake, because the blood that came out of his side that day, that blood still has power to save. That blood still has power to forgive us from all sin. But, they took him down from that cross because they said he's dead. They put him in the grave on Friday night. And he stayed there all night Friday. And the Jewish religious leaders thought that they had won. And all day Saturday, they said, we silenced those people that believe in those and that Jesus. But somewhere Saturday night, things start rustling up down there. Because even the grave could not contain Jesus. So on Sunday morning, real early, he got up with all power in his hands. And because he got up with all power in his hands and is alive, the book that we are left with is living. The book says that we are God's masterpiece, created to do good works, which God prepared for us in advance to do. So no matter what your situation is, no matter what you've been through, no matter how many wrongs are on your record, when you accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, your record is wiped clean, and he starts the masterpiece process in you so that he can take that piece of junk that we used to be, fix it all up, customize it, because there's a purpose for each one of us, no matter 6 to 60, I'd be out of here. 6 to 100, blind, crippled, crazy, it doesn't make any difference. If you're still here, Jesus has something for you to do. That's why he customized us for the kingdom. God bless you.